thanks for being with us today. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein. You know, one of the wonderful things about Juno is that it coexists with some of the most beautiful wetlands you'll ever find. The downside of that, of course, is that those wetlands are awfully close to some industrial and heavily used areas, and they're prone to collecting a lot of trash. And it takes some heavy lifting to remove that trash. That's why the Southeast Alaska Land Trust is hoping to have a lot of help tomorrow with its wetlands cleanup, part of a citywide effort. Joining us now, Nancy Waterman, who serves on the board of the Southeast Alaska Land Trust. She's also on the board for Litter Free, which is also organizing tomorrow's big cleanup. Nancy, thanks so much for joining us today via Zoom. Appreciate it.
It's a beautiful afternoon, Andy, and we're looking forward to sunshine tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, there'll be some good weather tomorrow. And a big focus, I know, for tomorrow's wetlands cleanup is that Vanderbilt Creek Conservation property. Tell us a little bit about why that area needs a little TLC, as they would say.
That's right. So Vanderbilt Creek property is about just a little more than 37 acres. It's our most recent acquisition with a conservation easement. For those who didn't grow up on a farm, an acre is just slightly smaller than a football field. So there are a lot of acres there at Vanderbilt Creek, an important salmon spawning stream, if people didn't know that. And it happens to be just near our landfill. Eagles, the wind, all kinds of bear activity and things like that bring garbage to us on Vanderbilt Creek property. So we're in the beginning phase of starting to clean up that area. And tomorrow will be one of those efforts, starting at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, so just so I can figure out the geography, so there's Lemon Creek, there's Vanderbilt Creek, there's Schweitzer Creek, all in that area. Which is which? When people think of Vanderbilt Creek, of course, Vanderbilt Creek Road or Vanderbilt Road is right there. Is that the general area there, kind of by Western Auto?
Yeah, think of the Mormon Church where it is, and right across Glacier Highway from Western Auto. And if you've been on the Lemon Creek Trail, sometimes you park in the Western Auto parking lot and go across the creek or go across the street to the beginning of that trailhead. There's a secondary trailhead at Costco, but the original trailhead was right there across from Western Auto.
So when you're driving, you're sort of driving from Egan Drive towards like the recycling center and all that area. It's all that area on the right hand side of the road there, a kind of grassy area, and is that right? Or
that's correct. Okay. Yeah, it's an area that holds the snow quite a length of time in the spring, and then you see the foliage coming up in a very typical Southeast Alaska wetlands.
So tell me a little bit about why that area was an area of interest for the conservation for conserving.
Primarily, the drainage that comes down from the mountainside into the very shallow, as you recognized, Vanderbilt Creek is not a very large system. It's not a Lemon Creek. It's not a Schweitzer Creek. But it's a system that hosts a lot of the coho salmon and a salmon that isn't hosted in many other areas in Juneau area. So Vanderbilt Creek is important for that. And the size of the property. And it's one of those properties, I think people sometimes think of Southeast Alaska as the Tongass National Forest. Why do we need anything other than the forest in our backyard? But I think the conservation easements that Seal Trust holds are those smaller acreages close into our community where we hike and recreate in a natural way and that preserve the values that complement our development. So part of the system that Southeast Alaska Land Trust provides is to work with willing landowners now in order to recognize high value conservation properties and with terms of the conservation easement in place protect these properties in perpetuity for the future as our communities continue to develop.
When did
so Vanderbilt Cube is one of those properties.
When did Southeast Alaska Land Trust, when were they able to acquire that property?
We closed after many years. I'm going to guess it was up to 10 years of working with a landowner on that property. We closed in February of 2021 on that acreage.
Wow, so a recent accomplishment to get that as part of the land trust.
That's correct. So many years ago, the airport, Juneau Airport, was expanded, and there was mitigation required for that expansion, and Seal Trust received the funds for that. And so we're completing just now, actually this year, we're completing the use of those funds in preserving places, as I say, close into our community that will be very valuable for the public in the future, use.
Can you explain that concept a little bit, the idea of mitigation and how that plays into what Southeast Alaska Land Trust does?
Yes. In just a brief overview, it is that we are part of a system that has so much high value and still natural areas within our boundaries. And yet we also balance those places where we want to develop things like deep water ports and coastal residences and shipping and things like that. I'm not being very articulate. So there's a balance in preservation, and we are so rich to have so many acres that are still in condition to be preserved rather than redeveloped or restored. And so balancing in within our community, those places that we want to keep with the natural conservation values, and sometimes we have to give a little bit in one area and in order to do our development exactly where we need it.
Yeah, it's a recognition there's some areas that just have pressure for development and where certain kinds of development just can't happen elsewhere. But then the land that's developed on, it's a recognition of the value of that land and trying to capture that value somewhere else in the general area.
That's right. So again, go back to the Juneau Airport. It was established in that location a long time ago, and now we have a need for longer runways, et cetera. And yet at each end of that runway are Mendenhall Wetland, now Mendenhall Wetland State Game Refuge properties, and at the other end, and the Mendenhall River and the estuarian features that are there. And so it was mitigated that we be able to use both ends to expand. And then in the process, Seal Trust has acquired smaller properties in various parts of the community for preserving the natural areas that are so important.
When the land trust receives land or buys land, is there a blanket type of use for those lands, or are they kind of different for each piece of land that comes in? Is one land completely no touch zone and another one is you know, hunting, fishing allowed, or you know, how do those rules happen?
Right. So we have a guide of how we value, first of all, in order to qualify a property when a willing owner comes to us. And then the terms of the conservation easement are carefully thought out. I'll go over to Admiralty Island, where the Lobaugh property is located. And Cliff and Sharon Lobaugh had an amazing garden over there for many, many years, and also a large piece of property that has some estuarian and high-value wetlands. And so part of that conservation easement includes keeping the forest trimmed in order that the garden can continue to be used. And there's also a building there. And so the conservation easement allows for that building and, in fact, allows for an additional building. So conservation easements, the terms of those conservation easements are written according to standards that the land trust meets and the needs of the landowner.
I see. Well, let's talk a little bit about the cleanup itself that's happening tomorrow. So it's going to start at 8 o'clock in the morning. Is that right?
That's right. 8 to 10. We want to finish at Sunny Point while the tide is relatively low. And then additionally, we'll be over at Vanderbilt Creek. Jordan Tangway, our conservation field person, field specialist, will be there greeting people at the Western Auto parking lot. And I'll be at Sunny Point greeting people at the West End, and Coastal Code, the Alaska Brewery feature, will be at the East End of Sunny Point. So two opportunities to go around Sunny Point and pick up the trash that you see there. So, Andy, I'm going to remind you that you and Lou Logan were at the cleanup last year, and you brought in one of the largest pieces of styrofoam of the day last year.
We did. So we nearly wrenched our backs, but also we're fortunate to find a winter sled out on the wetlands as well during that, and so we dragged it back on a sled. But it does seem like those chunks of styrofoam, boy, those are big offenders, aren't they? It really feels good to get those out of there.
It really is important. And so I thank you very much for that. One, not last year, but a couple of years ago, there was a young lady who also recognized it's not just the big pieces of styrofoam that need to come out of the wetlands, but she just sat down and for about an hour, she picked up little tiny pieces of styrofoam and put them in a bag. And so her work was as valuable as yours.
Yes.
I'll just say that.
I think that ravens and seagulls like to peck at those styrofoam, and they just make a mess out of them. But
Absolutely. It is true.
And that's really, of course, that's when they, you know, when they're little pieces like that, that's when they become more dangerous for animals and that sort of thing. So you're right. That work was important for her to do. But it certainly was rewarding to pull out a gigantic chunk of that styrofoam. That was fun.
That's right. There was one year also when people like Bruce Denton and Frank Rue and the Alaska Airlines Green Team took apart a huge dock segment and got rid of the styrofoam. And then a week later, Trail Mix volunteers extraordinaire, including Dave Haas, came out and rigged up a system for carrying about a 20 foot long 6x12 off the wetlands and used it in their work over at the Treadwell Trail, I understand.
Oh, all right. So it's been reused.
So some things
very
are
good.
Yeah, some things are reused. And I'll also highlight Scott Foster found a Lashes kidney and liver bitters bottle. The best cathartic and blood purifier. And we looked at eBay, and it was probably a 1920s bottle, and it was probably worth someplace between $35 and $120.
All right.
So you never know. You never know what you're going to find on the wetlands.
Some snake oil salesman had given that to someone, and there you go.
That's right.
Well, it certainly is. I would vouch that it certainly is a fun, great activity. I always use it as an excuse to bring a dog and, you know, get the dog walk in as well. And it's really fun to get out on the wetlands. Plus, it's awesome to get out on the wetlands when it's a low tide. It's beautiful out there, and then it feels great to clean it up a little bit too. And it really does make a huge difference. You know, you really notice the before and after of the cleanup. I always just notice it just driving down Egan. You can see the difference.
Absolutely. It does make a huge difference. Andy, I'm going to add on that we are going to continue our Vanderbilt Creek cleanups starting on May 4th, Wednesday, May 4th, from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. So about an hour and a half every Wednesday, May 4th through June 13th. So that'll be about an hour and a half each Wednesday afternoon. And if people want more information about those ongoing cleanups at Vanderbilt Creek, they can contact Jordan Tangway at the Seal Trust office.
And that's Jordan at SEALT.org.
That's correct.
All right.
Yep.
Well, thanks so much. I think we're all going to feel better getting rid of the maybe some of the winter cobwebs tomorrow, and that includes all that trash that accumulates over the winter. And thanks for coming and telling us about the watershed cleanup. Nancy Waterman with the Southeast Alaska Land Trust. Thanks so much. It's great talking to you, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you, Andy.
All right.